The game is over when the horn sounds. The analysis ends when you say it does. This is Overtime Open Line. Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. And now, the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Edmonton has never led. Kopitar shoots and scores off the rush. Angled off the boards, and Andrei Kopitar at age 36 beats Skinner high glove, and Los Angeles claims game two in overtime, 5-4.
Well, you shouldn't be surprised that the Edmonton Oilers have lost a playoff game in overtime since they returned to the playoffs in 2017. They have gone to extra time on 14 occasions. They have lost 11 of them. And specifically against the Los Angeles Kings, the last four times the Oilers have lost to the Kings in a playoff game, it's been in overtime. Game 5 2 years ago, the only two games the Kings won in the series last year, and then tonight. 5-4 is the final. The Kings take it. Kopitar had a couple of assists in the first period. He gets a partial breakaway and roofs the game winner. The Oilers recovered from a 3-1 deficit. They recovered from a 4-3 deficit, but they cannot get the game winner, and we go back to Los Angeles for game three on Friday with the best of seven series tied 1-1. It's 11:30. Thanks for staying up and joining us. We're live in Studio 99 along with Rob Brown. I'm Reed Wilkins for Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. First of all, how did Kopitar get that open on the game winner?
Well, I mean, I'd have to watch it a couple more times. First of all, the LA Kings, I think it was Mikey Anderson, is the guy that threw it up. He's just trying to get the puck out of harm's way. The Oilers off a faceoff had a couple good looks. He's trying to get it out, and he throws it up towards his winger, who I believe was Byfield. And what he's doing is he's looking for a tip to get the puck into the offensive zone. Now, I don't know if Byfield tipped it on purpose to the middle of the ice or if it was a very fortunate bounce.
Yeah.
But he got a piece of it. It bounces to the front to the middle. And Kopitar, he's trying to get in on the forecheck or in case there's an icing, win a race for the icing. The one thing that I wonder, though, is Darnell Nurse on that one, it was quite wide. So when the puck is coming up the boards and Kopitar is going through the middle, Nurse hadn't cut the ice off, which means that when Kopitar had it, he's got time to make a play. So I'd have to ask a defenseman or a coach if that's where they want Nurse, if they want him there, or if they would prefer he be more in the middle cutting the ice off. But as the puck's going up, the Oilers have four guys in the middle.
It's a 2-on-4. Yeah. I mean, there's other Oilers back.
But Kopitar's behind them. Yeah. So Kopitar is Nurse's player. And Nurse was on the opposite side of the ice. I'm guessing that Nurse was thinking that puck was going all the way in because it was being shot hard, and normally it does, and he's going to get it played as it rims around the boards. But when it takes the bounce into the middle, Kopitar is the only one there. Nurse can't get to him, and you may question, there's 8 other goals scored in this game, and there may be some questions about should either of the goalies have had them.
Yeah.
There's no way that Stuart Skinner could have had that goal. That was an unbelievable shot by Anze Kopitar. Great players do great things, and Kopitar has been a great player in this league for years. A huge goal for the LA Kings. They've stolen home ice away from the Oilers now. They get to go home feeling good about themselves. So that was a big moment for Kopitar and the LA Kings.
Here's Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch.
But after that, I thought we played a lot better, especially in the second period. And for me, it just felt like if we were able to get the lead, we could have finish the game, but we never quite been able to do that.
A lot of kind of hard luck chances around your goaltender, Stuart Skinner, but he did allow 5 goals. What do you make of his performance tonight?
Yeah, no, I thought there was a lot of not as bad as the other night with unfortunate events in game one where broken stick, 2-on-0, and 2 off our defenseman skates. The first game I thought he played really well tonight. Not that any of those goals were bad. You look at some of them, you know, the game-winning goal, that breakaway, another breakaway, Doughty loses control of the puck. So I think I'm not faulting him on any of those goals.
Chris, one of the positives tonight was Dylan Holloway's game. What did you see in him tonight offensively on top of all the forechecking and stuff that he's given you before?
No, he played really well tonight. I was very happy with him, obviously skating and the confidence of him shooting the puck. You know, the catch and the release has been something that he's worked on a tremendous amount in the past 2 years here. And, you know, it's paying off. He was played a really good game.
Quite a bit, a lot of talk about bounces and such, Chris, but I mean, you guys got down earlier in this game. There were some mistakes made. Like, how much is there for you to clean up, you think, after this game?
I think a lot of there was clean up. You know, we didn't get a puck out in the first goal against, beat up on back check. And they are a good team. They're going to get chances, but I felt that we were giving them some opportunities that I don't think we needed to.
If you compare the two nights, just overall quality of play, I mean, how much of a difference was there, would you say, from what you output tonight from game one?
Well, I think probably the biggest thing was I don't think we generated quite as many chances. And I think that chances just being able to move the puck out better and catch them on line changes, stuff like that. You know, I have a feeling after the game, and then when I'm watching, it's never as good as I thought, and it's never as bad as I thought. So I'll reserve that judgment for later.
Chris, given how game one went for you guys, was that the sort of response from the Kings that you expected to see, particularly given the, you know, the veterans like Kopitar and Doughty that they have on their group?
Absolutely. We were expecting a much better game from them. At times, we you know, we controlled a lot of plays in game one, and we knew that was not going to happen for long periods of time. In game two, we were expecting a strong start from them, and they definitely gave it with the three first period goals.
In the playoffs, sort of everything is magnified, and then it comes on you really quickly. How do you think Stuart Skinner equipped to put this in the rearview mirror and be himself for game three?
Oh, I've seen him take ownership and accountability and come out really solid and play superbly. And I have no doubt that he can do that. I'm not sure when it was. Sometime in December, I think we're playing Florida, or one of those games, or about that time. Might have been Tampa Bay. But, you know, we played a game, let in six, maybe seven goals. I'm not sure what happened there. And, you know, he took ownership. It was ownership on, you know, I don't think he was that bad. It was just the chances we were giving up. And after that, he just went on a stellar run. So, you know, anytime he's had an off game, he's always been able to play really well for us.
In that first period, when the Kings scored the third goal, or in that first intermission, did you ever entertain the idea of making a change in goal? Did you think about taking Stewart out of the game?
No, I didn't.
Chris, you guys dumped it in a lot more tonight than you did in game one. Was that a result? What did they do different, or maybe what were you doing that you weren't able to carry the puck in the zone as often as you did in game one?
I think a lot of the times it was just the timing of the game. A lot of the times last night we had fresh guys when those situations arose where we were able to turn those pucks up right away. A lot of the times tonight when that happened, we were changing. So if we're changing, we can get the puck in, but we got nobody to forecheck. So they were able to get in their formation a lot more because of situations like that.
And did you get an explanation when they had whistled it down? It looked like the Kings had six guys on for a brief moment. Did you get an explanation why?
They did have six guys on the ice, but and I believe the guy who was coming on the ice and the guy that was going off had nothing to do with the play. So it was the right call from what I saw.
All right, that's Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch at the mic for Edmonton International Airport. Fly nonstop to over 50 destinations. Fly eia.com/nonstop. So 5-4, the Kings win it. That's 9 goals tonight. There were 11 goals in game one, 10 of them on goaltenders. So, I mean, you said it, neither goalie with an A-plus game. I'm not sure either goalie had a C-plus game or seven a C-plus. Certainly a couple of weird bounces on Skinner the other night. But, I mean, you can debate goals all you want. You say it, Rob. Watch the highlights. Any game, even goaltenders who win games, there are shots where you think, oh, I would have thought he would have had it. But at the end of the day, a puck is either stopped or it isn't. And as I've often said, you never know. Maybe a shot was going right under the crossbar. I mean, that glove save Talbot made on Bouchard in the second period, when you showed that, when they showed it from the end zone replay, that's going top corner.
Oh, God, yeah.
Talbot stopped it. So I'm not going to necessarily talk about which individual play, but again, when five go in and you lose in overtime, you're looking for a stop somewhere.
Well, I don't, as I said, I don't think either goalie had their A game tonight, but the one thing we did see in this game is two huge saves by Cam Talbot at the end of the second period. The Oilers had tied it. They have a power play. The Kings were reeling at that moment. The one that you just said, Bouchard, that was an absolute bomb. Yeah. Like, you could see the smile on Bouchard's face, like, okay, 1-0 you, Talbot, because that should have been in the net. And then the one at the end of the power play with, what, 18 seconds to go, the one-timer by Leon, that save was all-world as well. Talbot at times struggled catching dump-ins. There's one that was dumped in, and he whiffed on it, missed the puck completely. Fortunately for him, it wasn't on net. But the two saves he made that would have given the Oilers a 4-3 lead going into the third period probably crushed the spirit of a Kings team who gave up a 3-1 lead. But because the Kings go into the third, they feel good about themselves. Now they know win a period, win a game. So I don't think either goalie had a great game, but I do believe Cam Talbot made two saves that made a huge difference in the outcome of this hockey game.
He also stopped Ryan McLeod on a shorthanded breakaway.
Yep.
Now, I know the Oilers did score twice after that to tie it, but again, it would have been earlier, would have been the momentum of a shorthanded goal. So, yeah, neither goaltender, I would say, has excelled in this series, but they each have a win.
I mean, when you look at it, Skinner's given up 9 goals and Talbot's given up 10 in 2 games. So, yeah, no, neither goaltender is what you would call having a Vezina-type series yet.
Now, somewhat similar to the last game, what happened in the first period did go a long way towards deciding the outcome. The team that led by 2 goals after the first period has won both games. Full credit, we wondered how L.A. was going to come out, and I said, are they going to be good enough, strong enough to overcome the Oilers' strengths? Well, they were in that first period, and plus they jumped on a couple of miscues by Edmonton.
Well, what I think we saw in this game is the LA Kings played to win, whereas I thought for most of the game, the first 2 periods anyways, in game 1, they played not to lose. And I think that's huge for when you play against the Oilers. If you play not to lose, you're going to lose because you're just allowing the Oilers to come at you in wave after wave after wave. In this game, they just played to win. And they tried to match, and they matched them physically. Both teams were very physical. The Kings were much better getting on the forecheck. They were off face-off plays. They were throwing everything to the net. They created odd man rushes. In overtime, Drew Doughty dumped the puck in from center and led the forecheck in overtime. I mean, he was out there against McDavid's line. Drew Doughty played probably close to 30 minutes tonight, and he was lead. So this is a team LA that came to win tonight. They played as though that they felt they could win a hockey game. We didn't see that in game 1. And, well, frankly, we have a series now because the LA Kings showed up with a much better intensity tonight than they did in the first game.
All right. 5-4, the Kings take it. You're going to get reaction from the Oilers dressing room from Stuart Skinner, Matthias Ekholm, and Dylan Holloway, who scored twice tonight. Series is tied 1-1. We're live in Studio 99. You're listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
This is the Rogers Postgame Show on the Oilers Radio. Live Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Off a feed from Kopitar. Down low for Leon Draisaitl. Turned over. Kopitar in front. Quick shot. A save made by goaltender Stuart Skinner.
That is Stuart Skinner's save of the game for Crystal Glass. Call 310 Glass or visit crystalglass.ca. However, Skinner beaten in overtime by Anze Kopitar. Kings win game 2, 5-4. Down to the Oilers dressing room. Here's Skinner.
What did you see tonight, Ed? What you sense in that game?
Yeah, it was back and forth. I thought we took over the game in a lot of different situations tonight. I thought the guys played really, really well in front of me.
What did you think of your game?
It was okay. I thought I didn't really do too much. I don't think I was a big factor in the game tonight. That's okay. I'm gonna, get better from that and move on.
How did you see the winner, like all of a sudden, Kopitar's in the title?
Yeah, I'm not too sure why they're dumping the puck in like that, and then it just goes off a stick, right on his tape, and doesn't bounce off it. Gets a nice shot off, goal, and out of there.
Some different goals, right? Kempe's juggling a puck at you out of the air. A shot from the hash marks that went through two guys and gets in. We don't know if you saw that puck even. Or it wasn't a routine night. Some of the chances were kind of weird. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's very fair. Since the third period, the night the game before, just really tough bounces are happening. That's not saying that it leaked into tonight. It's just like they're getting some good puck luck right now. We've also had our fair share of puck luck as well, so it's how hockey works sometimes. And it just wasn't puck luck wasn't on my side tonight.
This is part of what I mean. You focus a lot on the mental side of the game, and maybe not too high when it's good, not too low when it's bad. This is sort of what all that effort is for, is these sorts of moments.
Exactly. Games like this where. You feel like things are, the universe is against you, and that, the puck's just not working well for you, and all these things. It's part of life. I'm sure we've all had those feelings before, it's part of playoffs too. Like I'm sure I'll feel this again at some point. I hope that I get to feel this again at some point, and if we get on a stretch here. The takeaway for tonight is just kind of wash it out. I know who I am. I know my game, and I'm going to get back to work.
Stu, you've talked about, I know goalies feel they can save every shot, right? But when it's one that's, coming out of nowhere, bouncing off guys or stuff, is it harder sometimes to be like, well, what's going on here, where it's going off skates and kind of through traffic, where it's different than if a guy just beats you and you whiff it on your glove?
Yeah. Talking about that, the first goal, Kempe made a nice shot. But that's a shot that I saw, and I can stop a puck like that. Now Kempe's second one, where it goes off two different sticks and maybe a skate, it's a little bit more difficult to see kind of what I can learn, how I can play that better. But again, hockey players make great plays. Kempe got a stick on it. That's great hand-eye coordination by him. It's a good goal, and I think you're exactly right. You just got to, move on and move forward, and sometimes those types of things happen.
Stu, just to follow that up, is that hard luck or bad bounces kind of thing, is that easier for a goaltender's stomach, or is it kind of more difficult because it's just kind of frustrating?
Talking to you guys right now, 15 minutes after a game, it's a little frustrating. Give me an hour and I'll be all right.
The Doughty goal. It looked like you were waiting for him to make a move.
I'm sure you guys could ask him the same thing, but he was wanting to go backhand. And Nuggie actually made an unbelievable play, and I just kind of got caught in the mix of things and didn't read it well and snuck it in five-hole. But that's kind of, again, that's kind of stuff that's happening. Every shot that they take, it seems to hit off a guy's stick and hit off a skate and they're able to make some plays. So some things that we all get to learn as a unit and move on and get better from this.
Can you speak to Holloway's game tonight? This looked like he arrived tonight.
Amazing. Yeah, he was great. I even thought the last game too, even though he didn't score a goal the other night, he was doing his job so well. And, that's what you get out of him. He plays his role really well. He's a fast skater. He's got lots of skill, and he knows how to grind down low too. So, an amazing player to watch, and I'm really proud of him for getting those two goals. They were huge goals.
And as a goalie, he's got a shot too. Sometimes he doesn't use that shot. He wants to dump it in and grind.
Yeah, sometimes you got to pick your spots, right? Sometimes, and I think that he's got the smarts to do that. I think he found some areas on the ice where he was able to get the puck and get a quick release on, and obviously he got rewarded for that tonight. But, playing in the NHL, sometimes it's hard to find that good ice and get a nice shot on. So I think he has picked out his spots really, really well, and he was able to give us a chance tonight to win.
Stu, their fourth goal, the Fiala one, did it take a little bounce there in front of you? Or did it reach?
I think it reached me clean. I, to be honest, I couldn't see a thing. I think Byfield did a great job, and I think that their whole team does a really good job in general, getting good traffic, and that's an amazing lesson learned for me. You know, for the rest of the series, I know that they're going to do that, so it's a really good spot for me where I get to, you know, enjoy learning that that lesson tonight.
Well, one thing I've noticed, Rob, is that the Kings are much more likely and more willing to shoot from any area of the ice than the Oilers.
Yes.
Even though they were been outshot both games, I mean, the Fiala goal was, his butt was against the boards, and he fired it on net.
Well, I wouldn't think the LA King team would be as skilled up front as the Oilers, but they are big and strong, and they work hard. And they know, you know what, we're not going to get a lot of odd man breaks and pretty goals, so let's throw everything at net and we'll make sure we have bodies. I mean, Skinner just talked on the goal, the fourth goal, the one that came from the boards. Byfield, I mean, he's a massive, massive man. And he just went and stood in front of the net. He was standing in front of the net for about 5-6 seconds waiting for someone to throw the puck. And Fiala, who scored it, I mean, that's... He's not in a scoring position there.
Right.
I mean, that is, he's against the boards, above the circle, but he's throwing that puck on net, hoping chaos ensues, and was fortunate. He got a lucky break. It found its way in. His Skinner couldn't find the puck coming in. So L.A., I believe, has to work harder for their goals than the Oilers. The Oilers can have a one-and-done, like, boom. Some skilled play just makes an incredible play, and they score. The Kings have to work a little harder, and they did tonight. I thought the Kings, I think the score was really indicative of the play. I think the Kings were a little bit better than the Oilers tonight, a little more desperate, and it showed with a big win on the road for them.
5-4, overtime win for the Kings. The shots were 31-26 for the Oilers. Rob set the line before the game for River Cree Resort and Casino. Excitement bet on it at 34 for the Oilers shots on goal, so it's under. So Douglas wins the $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card. Huge positive tonight for the Oilers in the loss was 2 goals from Dylan Holloway, first 2 of his playoff career.
Well, and what is disappointing, if you're an Oilers fan, you got 2 goals from your fourth line, and you don't come away with a victory.
And one from a third-pairing defenseman.
Yeah, you're right. Well, it's funny, the stars of the LA Kings, Kopitar, Kempe, were fantastic in this hockey game. And the Oilers' top players were a little quieter on the score sheet. So, yeah, you get Kulak, your third-pairing defenseman, Holloway, your fourth-line left winger, and there's 3 goals. You're thinking, most nights that gets you a win, usually one convincingly. Holloway was good. Great shot. Gets it off very quickly. Uses the defender in front of him as either as a screen or even, you know, if it hits his stick a little bit, maybe it changes direction. And it was, it's funny, he was so noticeable out there tonight. Then you look at his minutes, I think he had 9-something. So here's a guy with 2 goals, is very noticeable in the game, and he played in under 10 minutes. Now you're thinking, maybe we could find him a little more ice time next game, because he was hopping. He had his legs going tonight, and every time he was on the ice, you noticed him in a positive way.
Holloway was the second star tonight. Kopitar, the third star. Kempe with a couple of goals, the first star. The fourth star is for Jandell Homes, Alberta's premier modular home retailer. And tonight that is Matthias Janmark from the Oilers, who had 2 assists, was +2 in 10:58 of ice time. And he was credited with 5 hits as well. But the Oilers lose 5-4 in overtime to the Kings. Also tonight, it is Vegas, man oh man. 3-1
wow.
Over Dallas. They win the first 2 in Dallas.
See, you're the Dallas Stars, you just have an all-world season. You win the Western Conference. You're battling for the President's Trophy.
Yeah.
And here's what you get. You get the Vegas Golden Knights, who have some salary cap issues, yet find the long-term disability or whatever, LTIR, whatever it is. They get Stone back. They get Pietrangelo back. Chandler Stephenson back. And now you've just lost 2 games on home ice to the defending Stanley Cup champions. I thought it would take.
Who eliminated you last year?
Yep. I felt that if Vegas got through the first round, they would get stronger, because all those players. I know that there's fans that are mad that they're even playing, but those players are going to get better. Like Stone is. People say, well, how can he play the first game? Well, he still missed 6-7 weeks. He's going to be better 2 weeks from now. Pietrangelo is going to be better. Yeah. Stevenson's going to be better. Hill's going to be better. He hasn't even played yet in the series. So the Dallas Stars, the Vancouver, oh, I was going to say the Vancouver Canucks did it right. They're playing Nashville, but they're 1-1 in that one as well. But this would be, it's not an upset because it's the defending Stanley Cup champions, but it would be a crushing way to end a season for Dallas after such a great regular year.
Yeah, well, and it's what we've often talked about. I mean, is there a such thing as an upset in the NHL?
The
anymore?
Only,
I mean, I guess Washington Rangers would,
that would be
the
only
biggest
one.
Discrepancy this year. Now, I know you've talked about it a million times, Rob. These guys are pro athletes. They're super confident. Dallas still thinks they're going to
win, 100%
win
they
the
do.
Series. But it's, as you said, they're playing. I mean, I remember, I can't remember how long ago it was, probably 20 years, Vancouver won the first two games in Detroit. Detroit won the next. I think that was the year. Was it Cloutier let in that goal from center? Like,
I've been there. I've played in Pittsburgh. We played in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
We won the first two games
right.
in Philadelphia, then lost the next four games. So it is possible. But Dallas has to do it against the defending Stanley Cup champions. Like, this is a team that knows how to win.
It's
yes.
not like a team where
no.
it's like, okay, we haven't really woken up yet. Like,
no. And
I'm
sure
Dallas was wide awake for those games.
Yes, so. They were. And it's, it's the Vegas Golden Knights. They know how to win, and they did it twice in Dallas over the last 3 days.
Checking the scoreboard for Advantage Trailer Rentals, your one-stop source for commercial trailer rentals. Visit AdvantageTrailerRentals.com. Marchand gets the game winner and the empty netter. Bruins beat the Leafs 4-2, so they lead that series 2-1. The Oilers farm team, Bakersfield, playing a best of three against the Kings farm team, the Ontario Reign, 5-1. Ontario wins game one tonight. And right here at Rogers Place, the Oilers... as is the custom, I guess I get to use my old line, lose a playoff overtime game. They're 3-11 in overtime in the McDavid-Draisaitl era, 5-4. The Kings take it. You can check in at 780-496-0063. You'll also hear from Ekholm and Holloway. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers, 630 Chad.
Right circle to Draisaitl. Cross ice. What timer score? We're tied. Zach Hyman buries the equalizer. 3-3 in game two.
Man, the building was rocking when Hyman tied it 3-3. Power play goal in the second period. Oilers 1-3 with the man advantage. Kings 0-3. That update for Conlon Motorsports to help get you out there. Visit one of Conlon Motorsports' four locations across Alberta or online at conlonmotorsports.ca. As Rob mentioned, Oilers had a power play, well, the last 2 minutes. It was exactly two minutes when Roy shot it out. One of Talbot's best saves of the series on Draisaitl with 18 seconds left. L.A. had a power play to go ahead. McDavid went off with 6:51 left. L.A. didn't really have a sniff on
the Oilers' penalty killing unit has been excellent through two games.
Yeah. But the Kings win it just 2:07 into overtime. Kopitar from Byfield and Anderson is the official. 5-4, L.A. takes it to tie up the series. It is a $400 donation to 630 Chet Santa's Anonymous from James H. Brown. Injury lawyers, when accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. They give $100 to Santa's every time the Oilers score, so in the playoffs, it's already up to $1,100. With the series 1-1, of course, we know that there will be a game next Wednesday at Rogers Place. So the games in L.A. are Friday and Sunday. They do get the extra day off between games 4 and 5. So 8:30 starts on Friday and Sunday, and well, it's actually still TBD for the start time on Wednesday, May 1st.
Oh, I'm going to guess it's going to be 8:20.
Make a little scribble on your calendar. Yes, how late can they start the games?
Seriously, I was thinking that tonight when the game went into overtime at 11 p.m. I'm thinking, okay, which people in Ontario right now are sitting up at 1 a.m. watching this overtime?
All right, 780-496-0063. We have Noah standing by. Noah, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Good.
Well, I don't know. I just feel like Stuart Skinner had a case of the jitters tonight. I don't know. He looked pretty stiff, I thought, but I don't know what you guys thought. I feel bad for the guy. Big crowd. Lots of stuff's going on, but I don't see what you guys thought.
Well, he's played better. I mean, I think that's pretty apparent.
I mean, he's given up 9 goals in 2 games. Now, some weird bounces in game one. Tonight, probably wants the one back. I mean, the Kings are throwing everything on the net. And there's screens, there's bounces, there's tips. But the Oilers needed to score five first tonight, and they didn't. I don't think either goalie had their A game. I think both goalies can be better.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I mean, obviously the quantity that go in is the main thing, but sometimes it's when.
Yep.
Okay. Skinner's stats weren't great the other game. Two goals went in when the game was pretty much over.
Yes.
Last game, and one was off his own defenseman.
And so the other was a 2-on-0 because your defenseman broke his stick.
Off a broken stick. But, yeah, tonight, you know, you needed, again, something. I mean, if it's 2-1 after the first period instead of 3-1, and it wasn't all on Skinner because
nope.
There were other mistakes. But
yep.
As I often say, there's a reason they're called saves. And the perfect example, as you said, Rob, Talbot.
Huge.
One-timer. Like, Leon, that was not a fan shot or
he got all of it.
Where it was a perfect setup, exactly how they want it. Scored a similar one last game. So, yeah, Talbot, again, I don't think either goalie would be thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I don't think the coaches would say it publicly. I mean, Knobloch didn't say anything. Probably behind the scenes, neither coach thrilled with their goaltender. But the one, Talbot, was a little bit better tonight. I mean, gets the win.
Yeah, well.
Or made the big saves when his team needed them.
Well, it did.
Including one in overtime. The Oilers did get a shot at
they
overtime.
They did. Well, off the faceoff, and Zach Hyman got the rebound. It was a set play off the faceoff. Bouchard got it on net, and then the rebound went to Hyman. So they did have their chance. The way the game was going, with neither goaltender having, I believe, their A game, this was one that looked like it was going to be a quick overtime. We've seen games where both goalies are locked in. You're thinking, we might be here for hours. But tonight, just the way the things were finding the back of the net, you're thinking, okay, you want to shoot early in this overtime. You want to get the first opportunity. And the first good opportunity was on the stick of Kopitar. And, again, there's nothing on Skinner on that goal. That was Anze Kopitar at his best. Unbelievable shot and a big win for the LA Kings.
All right, we'll go to Chris as well. Chris, thanks a lot for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Reid. Hey, Rob. How are you guys doing tonight?
Quite well.
Well, you know, a few things tonight. You know, first, you know, bummer they weren't able to get the victory. You know, a couple of tough breaks for Skinner, but, like, I'm not going to go berate him or anything. Like, he'll bounce back just fine, I think. And it's, you know, I tell you, Rob, I know you say you don't use you're not on Twitter. It's a good thing you're the smart one of us, because it's amazing how many people are already jumping to the, you know, can't win a Stanley Cup with Stuart Skinner as your starter. And, like, it's hilarious how much the narrative's already jumping.
That's,
it's like,
well, it's
know,
true. That's one of the reasons I'm not on there.
I'm not going to. Yeah, no, I wish I would take your advice. I can't, unfortunately. So. But you know what? Even just hearing his comments, like, you know what? He took ownership on stuff, and you know what? He didn't beat himself up over it. So, you know what? I expect a bounce back. He's going to give us it. He's shown us it all season. And I think we'll be just fine. There's a bit of a blip. Like, I don't think anybody expected a sweep in the series. If people were actually thinking that, you're sorely mistaken, I would say. But
yeah, I agree. I think Skinner will be better next game. The one thing he does is he brushes things off. And he's honest and up front when he talks with the media. He needs to be better. He knows that. But I also think Cam Talbot realizes he needs to be better as well. Both goal I mean, there's been – how many goals have been scored so far in two games?
So 9 tonight.
And 11 last
one
game.
One was on an empty
net. So
10.
So 19 goals in two games on goaltenders.
On goalies, yeah.
So that's too many for both teams. Because this is supposed – the LA Kings are supposed to be a low-scoring hockey club. So I don't think either team has been as good defensively as they need to be. And we'll see in LA which team plays a little bit better defensively.
Yeah, and I'll just answer the question preemptively if we get it. There's zero chance Pickard starts the next game.
Nope.
And now Talbot will start the next game because he won.
Yeah.
So it might be the same lineups again for both teams.
Well, other than, and it's funny, Bob asked me that upstairs, and I said yes, but then I didn't, and this is on me for not noticing during the game, but Grundstrom, who is a big burly forward who'd been injured, came back and played in game one. He's the most physical of all the LA Kings, played 25 seconds in today's game. And I noticed it late in the game, like, hey, I haven't seen Grundstrom in a while. So he played one shift and didn't play again. So there will be a change in the LA Kings lineup, I would imagine, as they lost a big physical fourth-line winger. And they played a man short the entire game. So, what is it, Kalikev? Is that the kid, the guy that plays for LA?
Kalyev.
So, might possibly see him or Turcotte, one of those two players, in. But that is a physical loss for the LA Kings. He was physical in game one, and I do believe he has led this LA King team in hits as well. So, there will be a little bit of a change for the LA Kings in game three.
5-4 in overtime. The Kings win it whenever the Oilers score five or more in a game. We turn on the Japanese Village goal light on 630ched.com. Now open for lunch at Edmonton South and West Edmonton Mall. An afternoon celebration for the census. Visit jvedmonton.ca. Let's hop down to the Oilers dressing room again. Two goals tonight for Dylan Holloway.
Thanks. I thought we played a good game. A tough bounce there again. I mean, it's a long series. I mean, you're going to have to battle through adversity, so we're just focused on the next one.
Well, for yourself, two-goal game, I feel like you just look a lot more comfortable than you usually, or even for Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, feeling confident. I think playing with Yanni and Sammy, they're two great players, and they're making some nice plays and making it easy for me. So credit to them, and then credit to our team for being so resilient. But yeah, ultimately, we didn't get the win, so it doesn't really matter, I guess.
And you're shooting the puck, too. Both shots were really good shots.
Yeah, thank you.
Dylan, yeah. Five goals against tonight. What do you think is going to happen defensively for you guys?
I mean, just some tough bounces. A couple of their goals. I mean, the last goal, tough bounce. Kempe's goal where he batted out of the air. I mean, that's a tough one, too. I mean, I think we're battling defensively. The guys are trying. I think we just got to stick with it.
Your game playing players. Why do you like playing?
All right, that's a little bit from Dylan Holloway, who a couple of nice shots tonight.
And he's a very polite young man as well. Yeah. Those were good shots yet. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, it wasn't really a question. So I was like, okay, thanks. That's cool. Oilers lose 5-4 in overtime. We have Dr. Dangles on the line. Doctor, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Quite well.
Just want to introduce myself. My name is Dr. Dangles on Twitter, also known as Tej Dhaliwal. Host of the Hellcast podcast. And we also bought some airtime on Sportsnet 650. And we had a good run on there with a 0.2 rating on Saturday mornings. Just want to comment on a couple of things here from a Vancouver perspective. Sometimes, you know, the fans do things that affect the team. For example, you know, our fan base here, DJ here, he put out a music video that many say has cursed the Canucks. You know, with Demko being out, you know, transitioning over to the Oilers. When the news came out yesterday that Demko was out, a lot of Oilers fans were wishing ill will towards Demko, saying that, you know, hopefully he's out for the rest of his career. Unfortunately, some Oilers fans were saying this. So I think, you know, karma's a bitch. It came back to bite the Oilers in the rear end.
That's not true at all. I don't believe in curses or anything a fan says publicly, well, affecting anything that happens in a game. What's your other point?
I think I just got a message to the fans that, you know, watch what you wish for on others because it'll come back to haunt you. Thank you.
I don't believe that at all, but thanks for calling.
And I don't think you can throw all fans. There's
no,
jerks,
I mean, there's
in
jerks
all.
In any crowd.
Yeah, so I don't think most people I know, all my buddies are Oilers fans, no one's going to wish someone to be hurt and miss the rest of their career. That's just wrong. Anyone would even think that. So I hope Demko's back. I hope the Oilers win. They play Vancouver in the next round, and Demko's back because you want to play the team's best. You want to beat the best. So I hope Demko gets back and healthy, and the Vancouver Canucks find a way to beat the Nashville Predators, because I cheer for all Canadian teams. I want them all to move on to the next round.
Yeah. First round never fails to disappoint, does it?
There is so much going on in the world of hockey right now. If you're a hockey fan, this is by far the best time of year.
Look at it already. I mean, Boston, Toronto going at it. Carolina, that dramatic comeback against the Islanders. The Demko story in Vancouver, Winnipeg, and Colorado, like a 7-6 game.
Well,
a 4-2 game. Like,
Colorado has scored.
Was 5-2. Did Colorado get empty netter?
Well, Colorado scored 6 and was it 11 goals they've scored so far on the guy that's going to win the Vezina. On Hellebuyck.
Yeah, Colorado won 5-2. I think the one was an empty netter, though, yesterday. I think
the fifth one?
I think the last one. I was watching.
I don't even know. I wasn't paying attention. Then you look at the injuries around the National Hockey League, too. Great defenseman for the Carolina Hurricanes. Pesci is out. Or how do I say it right? Pesci.
Yeah,
he's out with an injury right now. Demko in Vancouver. Haig with at Vegas. So that's why you want to play as few games as possible every round, because the risk of injury is there the more you play.
Yeah. I appreciate the call from Dr. Dangles. I just don't believe anything a fan says or posts on social media affects the outcome of a game. And unfortunately, yes, there are mouthy, inappropriate fans in every fan base. But, I mean, that's not why the Oilers lost tonight, or why Demko's hurt, or why Vancouver
lost. What if I say that Talbot's going to get a shutout next game? Did I just curse it?
No.
Did I jinx him?
You have nothing to do with the outcome of the next game.
Okay, good. I hope that he doesn't get one now, because then I'll look really bad.
Yeah, that's mix people up. 780-496-0063. Thanks for staying up with us. You'll still hear from Matthias Ekholm as well. Series is 1-1. Kings won it 5-4 in overtime. It's Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Oh, McDavid trying to hunt that puck down. Philip Deneau, big hit. He was absolutely smoked by Zach Hyman. Deneau has no idea where he is as he comes off.
Massive hit by Hyman on Deneau with 9:48 left in the third. Deneau did return to the game, but was wondering if he was going to. Just a great body check by Hyman.
It was. When I first saw it, I'm like, oh, okay, was that interference? Was it too high? Was it a late hit? Any of those things? Nope. It checked all the marks on how to be a great hit. Deneau leaning forward, reaching for a puck, and Hyman came right off the bench and leveled him. I was shocked, too, that Deneau came back. But he did come back and played well. That would have been a huge, huge loss for the LA Kings to not have Philip Deneau in the lineup. But he, just like most hockey players, goes shake out the cobwebs, come back out and play hockey.
Kings win at 5-4 in overtime. And, you know, Hyman did score today, Rob. But really, the Kings' top players were better than the Oilers' top players. I know that they did manufacture a power play goal, but certainly the McDavid line wasn't as dynamic as it was the other night. Kempe, a couple of goals. Kopitar, the game winner. I believe Leon's line was on for all three goals against in the first.
Yep.
You know, you talked about Vogel drives first goal. Somebody get the puck and take it out. So, the big guys, the stars for the Kings were shining brighter tonight.
Well, Byfield was +4. Kopitar and Kempe were both +3. Kopitar had 3 points. And then the Oilers' top players were all minus. I mean, Leon's line was -2. I believe Connor's line was -1. So it was, Kopitar and Kempe are great hockey players, and they are going to have good nights. And tonight they did. And it's now up to the Oilers to respond in L.A. This game, I thought, was a more important game to the L.A. Kings. Well, the pressure's now on the Edmonton Oilers in Game 3. They need that game. That's a big game for the Edmonton Oilers. I would expect they're going to have a better effort, and you'll see a little more energy. I think the LA Kings had more desperation in their game tonight than the Edmonton Oilers did.
All right. Ryan has called in this morning. Ryan, go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just a quick comment. I was at both games, actually. In Game 1, I thought we did a real great job of breaking down the trap and getting the puck across the ice and getting in. And then it seemed like the Kings made some adjustments on that in Game 2. So maybe your quick comment on that. And then my question would be, what, Rob or Reed, I guess, what adjustments do you think the Oilers should make for in Game 3?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Good question. I think, first of all, I thought the LA Kings were just more aggressive in this game. I think that's one of the reasons you didn't see the Oilers breaking out as easy as they did last game, is the LA Kings forechecked. Last game, it seemed like they were trying not to lose the game. So they just waited in the neutral zone. I think tonight they were much better at getting pucks in deep and chasing it down. Even if they only had one forechecker, they were at least forcing the Oilers to turn the puck over. And a great example was the first goal that Kempe scored. It was the Kings forecheck. Kopitar stood up at the blue line. They steal the puck, and Kempe puts in the net. Adjustments, I think the Oilers have to be a little bit better with puck management. I think they turned the puck over a few too many times defensively. Clean a few things up. I mean, they gave up a breakaway to Doughty. They gave up a breakaway to Kopitar. So there's two breakaways in a hockey game, a playoff hockey game. You can't do that. The LA Kings need to work for every goal. You can't give them easy opportunities, and two breakaways were a little easier.
Well, actually, the goal Kempe batted it out of the air, it was a 3-on-2.
It was,
just
too,
didn't
yep.
play out of like a 3-on-2. It looked like the Oilers had broken it up.
And that one of the reasons that Bouchard wasn't able to tie up Kempe, because if he ties him up, then the pass goes behind him to the third guy. But you're right, it was an odd man break as well. So the Oilers were a little looser defensively than they were, but I also give the Kings credit. They played much better tonight than they did in game one.
All right, we have Preach on the line as well. Is that, your name is Preach?
No, it's Preach. I'm at a Counted in Sherwood Park.
Oh, my apologies. Okay, well, anyway, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
No worries, always. A couple of comments. I was at the game today. I actually just got out of that parkade. You know, it takes like 3 hours to get out of there. some people say I'm a comedian. I should have been a comedian. But a couple of points. I think as fans, like, obviously we can't come here and tell, you know, the coach what to do. So as fans, I have a message to fans. I honestly don't think we should be, like, booing Drew Doughty. If anything, it sounds like Drew, and I think it's pumping the shit out of him. So let's get him. Let's get this guy to relax, and, you know, let's not pump him up anymore. Second point, want to say, I'm going to save the question till the end for you, and I hope some players are listening to this radio on the way home, because your answer
is
what
they are. But you can still
they
ask.
They might. You never know. They might, right? So I'm going to save the question till the end. A comment to that last listener, Dr. Dangles, from British Columbia. I agree with you. You know, whatever people say doesn't impact what happens in the game. But if it did, the reason I was in 2011 for the Vancouver Cup run, I just decided to go visit, you know, just to see if they were going to win it. And the amount of stuff that they said about Oilers during that time, they probably won't ever win a cup. So, you know, I don't just, if he's still listening, just, you know, if he really believes in that, you have some, you should listen to what your fans are saying as well. The question I have for you, because you're, you know, you guys watch practices, you watch games, and like I said, hopefully some players are listening. How do we beat Talbot? Like, what's his weakness? Is there somewhere we should be trying to, or somewhere the players should be trying to aim at first? That's all I got to say.
Well, I think they figured it out. I mean, they've beat him 10 times in two games. So Talbot, to me, hasn't stole the games. I think game one, the Oilers were by far the better hockey club, and they won it. In game two, the one they won tonight, Talbot made a couple big saves, but he still let in four goals. And I believe if the Oilers score four goals in every game, they're going to win this series, and it's probably only going to be in five games. So, yeah, I think Talbot tonight at times looked a little shaky, but came up with two huge saves that I think changed the game at the end of the second period. But I don't think the Oilers – goal scoring has not been a problem for the Oilers so far in this series.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. See, I can be polite like Dylan.
That's true. 780-496-0063. We get to Abbas as well, who's up late. You're still in Toronto, right, Abbas?
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay. I was so happy that the Leafs lost. No offense. But Dylan Holloway, man, he stole my heart. I mean, I've been waiting for this guy to shine, and he shined today, even though we lost. But, you know, I knew that Andre and Toronto's boy, the one that doesn't have, well, he has less teeth, Doughty. Nice guy, too. But, you know, I mean, these guys are Toronto boys. You know, I met him twice. Really nice guy, but I still say Oilers are going to do it. You know, I was surprised how many penalties we got, and Perry got a penalty. You know, McDavid got a penalty. I'm like, what's happening? But then I said, I'm glad that we never lost the game like 3-0 or 4-0. So, but I hope that there's a shutout. my our goals hinder.
Well, I think so does Skinner, but I bet again it's just the time of year where you were again. There were three power plays either way. I thought a couple calls each way
were weak.
If I were reffing, would have been ignored. But
there's a couple other things that happened that you're like, hey, so how is that not a penalty?
But again, I didn't think it was a huge.
No, the refereeing. If you want the Oilers to have an advantage, we'll have the referee call everything because the Oilers specialty teams are better than the LA Kings. Yeah. But no, I thought the refs were fine. It was just it was a bit of a sloppy game both ways at times. And the LA Kings had the first grade A scoring chance in overtime. They took advantage of it.
It was the previous caller about booing Drew Doughty and maybe just leave him alone. I mean, first of all, I have no idea if they hear. Like, I asked Jimmer before the game they hear. Like, he said certainly Talbot would have heard.
Yeah, I mean, you can hear if the whole crowd's booing. But
and most of these guys, they love it. Well, if they don't boo you, you're not as relevant.
Yeah, and I'm not sure.
Nobody's booing Grundstrom.
No. Well, he only played 25 seconds. You had to boo very quickly.
Time, yes.
But, I mean, Talbot, I don't know if it affects him or not, but I can tell you this. It pumps up Doughty. I don't know if you.
I can only imagine.
Well, did you see after he scored?
In another rink.
Did you see?
Well, he was yelling at
the crowd.
Fans.
Yes, I'm like he lives for that. Yeah. So that only gives him more and more energy. Yes, booing means you're doing something right. If you're in another town,
David gets booed.
Yeah.
In some rinks, so.
Yeah, not as much as Doughty, but.
Well, Doughty's been a villain for a long time.
Well, yeah, Doughty to me is a great Canadian hockey player that plays the game the right way. He just, when he's on the other team, you can't stand him with that smile of his.
They're actually turning the lights off in Studio 99.
They're telling us it's time to go home.
Well, we still have to get to the Matias. You can go home, Rob.
Okay, well, it's been an absolute pleasure.
We'll take a break, and we'll get to the Matias Ekholm postgame. Oilers lose 5-4 in overtime. This is Heartland Ford. Overtime open line.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers, 630 Chad.
5-4, the Kings beat the Oilers in overtime. Series is tied 1-1. Here's Oilers defenseman Matias Ekholm.
Is that that goal, sort of, it looked like Byfield kind of struck it and then ended up on the guitar stick. It's a typical night. It was a bit of a weird night for bounces and ended up.
I think you had a better look than I did. I haven't seen a replay on it, but yeah, I just heard that it was fluky bounce and it ended up right on his stick. So yeah, you saw some of the goals that they scored last game. You saw some goals they scored tonight, not to take anything away, but they seem to be fluky goals somehow. It's a bat out of the air. It's a shot from the outside the hash marks on the ice. Like they just seem to find its way through, and that's the playoffs. They're putting pucks in the net, and they're going in for them tonight. So I still like the way we played. I think we still have the puck a lot, and I think we're managing that in a good way. Obviously, we'd like to keep it a little bit less against, but I like our game, and this is the playoffs. It's highs and lows, and we weren't going to go 16-0, so I think the group can find confidence in a lot of things we did out there, but obviously there's some things that we can also do better.
Matias, is that just that you feel like you guys are still in complete control within games so far of this series?
I don't think I've ever said that. I don't think any team in this playoffs are in complete control of anything. It's the playoffs. It's the best teams in the world. So there's going to be moments in games where, nobody has control. So being said that, I've liked the way we played. That's if that's what you're asking. And again, I thought tonight, too, we had chances to score more goals. But as we said earlier, I'd like to cut a few defensively and instead of maybe increasing offensively, I think our offense is fine. Yes, he's always had it. Like, it's just been a matter of him finding it himself, and I think he's in a great spot right now. He's playing well. He's not thinking out there. You can tell the difference. Just the time I've been here in the beginning, I thought he was thinking maybe a little bit too much, but now he's trusting his instincts. I mean, he's got a heck of a shot. He showed it twice tonight, so he's been great for us here coming down the stretch.
Highs and lows here, like, just maybe a good thought of not getting too high after a game one win, now getting too low after a game two loss, kind of good teams can sort of, like, how did you guys react in here after?
No, I mean, it's as you're saying, it's about managing it, and I didn't think we were too high at all after the first win. I didn't think we were any bit too low after this one. We knew OT, anything can happen, and they're a good team over there. So still, again, like the way we've played, and I think everybody in here feels good about our game, and that's what we're focusing on.
When you have the odd bounces go against you, it's almost more frustrating. Did you have to stay even more calm, where sometimes you can credit them for just a good play, but you seem to have a few odd bounces go against you?
Well, it works both ways, right? That's what it is. Like, I was on for a couple of them tonight, and I'm trying to look myself in the mirror and see what can I do better, but sometimes the bounces just happen. I don't know if there is anything I could have done better, but at the same time, when they do make good plays on you, then they obviously have broken you down. So I don't think that's the case here. I feel like there's not a lot of offensive time for them where they just hem you in and they just keep coming. I feel like that's more what we do. So in that regard, I'm still pretty happy with the way we've played.
But physicality, you guys, is a concerted effort as a team to step that up?
Yeah. I think we had it. We showed them something in the first, but obviously when you go down a goal too, it's a bit of a wake-up call for the whole bench, and I think we responded well in that regard and didn't take any retaliatory penalties or anything like that. So I think the physicality has been good.
You guys knew this was going to be tough. Does this kind of illustrate how tough it's going to be?
I guess both yes and no. Again, I thought we played a good game. I thought we had the puck most of the night. And again, they're going to have their looks. They're going to have their bounces. But again, I still like the way we played, and hopefully we can build off of that.
That's Mattias Ekholm. Thanks to Brendan Escott for getting us the post-game interviews. You can read more on this game and on the Oilers on 630ched.com or globalnews.ca. Our next game broadcast, presented by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers, is Friday. We'll have Oilers Now at 4:30, the face-off show at 6:30, and the game at 8:30. Game 3, Oilers at Kings. The series now 1-1 after the Kings win 5-4 in overtime tonight at Rogers Place. Anze Kopitar with the game winner. Thanks to Troy Bowler, our game day engineer here at Rogers Place, and to Kellen Kennedy, our studio producer, back at 6:30. Ched, we've been live from Studio 99. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.